With us this morning into 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter number 2, if you would. And while you're turning, again, we would like to remind you about Servant Stage and the old-time gospel program. If you didn't get to go with us last year, we took the senior seats. No, that's not the senior. I'm turning into one of them. And, the senior saints last year to see the program up there. I was really blessed by it. And we found out that it was coming out again, and it was coming out around Christmas, and wanted to see if other folks would like to go do it. If you'd like to go, Sister Mary got 40 tickets. They're free. Just like they said, the only thing is if you take a ticket and you can't go, make sure you get it to somebody that will. Amen. And it's a blessing. And it's a good time. It's going to be at the Red Caboose. I think it's a restaurant and everything right there, right? I've never been to the Red Caboose.
It's very small.
It's very small. But if you want to eat before you go, you can get a bite before you go there. There's many restaurants around. There's other things to do. We was going to maybe put an itinerary together for some folks, some different things. There's a Christmas museum that's closing this year that's very interesting. It sounds like, what can there be in a Christmas museum? But it's a pretty neat little place, isn't it, Paula? It's got some really awesome things. Whose phone? Well, turn them off. Amen. I almost learned my lesson about dragging my phone to church. We were singing at Mercy one Sunday for her homecoming, and Sister Nancy called me. She was getting even with me for, I think, her phone went off right in the middle of a service one Sunday. I couldn't help it. You know I can't help it sometimes. And I looked at her and said, that better be Jesus calling. Hey, man. We're singing at a homecoming right in the middle of a song, and I forgot to take my phone out of my coat when I got up there because it was a different church and I wasn't thinking. I was in a hurry, and my phone goes off right in the middle of singing. Fortunately, it was one I could just touch the screen and it would quit. Nobody really realized it on a whole lot but me. That's one I guess real quick. She never let me live it down either. Found 2 Timothy chapter 2. I do want to say one other thing. We're going to be trying to seal the blacktop this week. It's supposed to get up to 70 on Wednesday. I don't know which day he's going to do it. But I know it might impact the pantry. I done talked to Sister Joanne about it. He's going to let me know what day. They got some patching and stuff they're going to do. Fix up what the state's messed up, I think, before they start the patching. We're going to leave the big patch go. But anyway, they're going to try to seal us this week, and I don't know if he'll stripe it this week. But if things change, if something happens, we have to do something alternate for Wednesday night. I will let you know when, where, why, and how. All right? But don't say, well, I'm not going to church on Wednesday night because they're sealed. But if it's we've been trying to get him. Jonathan called him. He was supposed to come and give us an estimate. And we've waited and waited and waited. And he finally got it to us this week. So we're going to try to get it sealed here. But we'll let you know if things change up, just so you'll be aware if something might happen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to begin reading in verse number 19. If you can stand this morning, if you're able, as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word, we'd invite you to stand with us. In verse number 19, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, the foundations of God stand sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? We've been preaching some on why I believe the things that I believe. You know, there's going to come a time when people are going to ask you why you believe what you believe and what you believe actually means. And the sad thing is, most people can't really give an answer. You know, because the preacher said so, it isn't satisfactory. Because the Bible said so is a cop-out if you can't tell them where the Bible said so. Amen? So we want you to know so. We want you to be able to have an understanding of why we stand on the things that we stand on. We understand salvation is a necessity that Jesus Christ said was necessary. Everybody take your cell phones out and stomp on them. Amen? Every time it goes off, everybody looks. But salvation is a necessity that we have to have. Jesus said you must be born again. Amen? Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go by the way that the Lord says we have to go. He says ye must be born again. It's not that, well, it's optional. It's not that you could. He said ye must. It's an imperative. Ye must be born again. And then we see some of the other things that the Bible teaches us about justification, about living by grace and through grace. We're saved by grace, and we understand that the dying thief, as we preached from that message there in Luke, as he was on the cross, found grace. Amen. And you know, the thing of it was, and I hope you got this by the time you left the service that day, he had nothing. He had no one. He had no place. There was absolutely, positively nothing that he could do to merit salvation, only that he trusted in Jesus. Amen. And then we want to preach this morning about sanctification. It's a real technical sounding term, sanctification. It's a theological sounding term. Only a theologians can understand this and can grasp this. But it's not. It's very simple. And Paul, as he's writing to Timothy here, he explains to him that we are vessels that can be cleaned up and be purged and be meet for the Master's use. Sanctification is a process of setting something apart for the use of God, something for a holy purpose. Sanctification, used as a verb, it shows action that something is happening, that something is being made ready for the Lord's service, for the Lord's purpose, whatever it might be. We read in the Bible, in the Old Testament, under the law, when they had erected the tabernacle, when they had done everything as God had prescribed it, before it could be put into use, it had to be sanctified. Amen? There was a process by which it was made ready for God's use and for God to perform all that he would perform in it. And they would sprinkle the blood, and there was offerings that had to be made and certain ways that it had to be done. But it was done in accordance with the way that God would have us to do it. But then we see sanctification, or to be sanctified. I use that as an adjective, and it imparts a sense of something that has been set aside, something that has been separated, something that has been made special and ready for the use of God. We are in the process, each one of us that are born again, each one of us that have become a child of God, of going through sanctification. We need to be sanctified in our lives. We need to be sanctified in our hearts, in our minds, in our thoughts, in our deeds, and everything that we do. We need to be sanctified. We don't need to be sanctimonious, but we need to be sanctified. Amen? Sanctimonious is someone who thinks that they are so much better than anyone else. They're so much closer to God and so much more holy than anybody else that really they're of no use to God whatsoever. Amen? Because they're wrapped up in themselves and in their own righteousness, their own sanctification, their own everything else. The process of sanctification is an active process, a never-ending process that happens in each and every one of our lives. It's a process that is taking us from where we started out and trying to bring us to the place to where God wants us to be. Some of us go through the sanctification process of screaming and scratching and a dragging and a hollering and trying not to go forward. Amen? And some of us adapt to it so much easier. Jesus in his prayer, by the way, in John chapter 17, is the Lord's Prayer. Amen? It's actually the Lord's Prayer. It's Jesus praying for his church. It's Jesus praying for his disciples. In verse number 17, he's praying to his Father, and he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So we see that the sanctification process for the child of God comes through the Word. Amen? We see the Word that is truth, and the Word tells us who we are. It tells us what we are outside of Christ. It tells us where we can go and what we can be in Christ. Amen? But the Word is truth. And if we're going to be sanctified, if you want to be used of God, you want to be used of God in a way that is standing on the truth of the Word of God. Amen? And we must come to that place of realizing, number one, we have a sinful nature within us. And we have a conflict that goes on inside of our lives. Amen? A battle that we're fighting every day. The old man is crucified with Christ, but praise God, he keeps trying to resurrect himself in my life every day. Amen. Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy word, and thy word is truth." And when I look into the word, I begin to see me for who I really am. I begin to see me for what I really am and how I really am. And it's not a pretty picture. And the Bible reveals what you can't see within me that I need to deal with. In John, 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it tells us what the goal of sanctification is all about. It says there, "Beloved, and now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And he says, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." You know, we are trying, we're striving, we're getting there. I'm going to let you down. I'm going to fail you along the way. I'm going to have some problems in my own life that I have to deal with and that you're going to have to deal with me. Amen. Because we're in this thing together. But praise God, I'm in a process of becoming more Christ-like every day. I'm not yet there, but praise God, one day I'm going to be. Amen. Amen. I'm not yet what I should be, but one day I'm going to be what he wants me to be. But as long as I'm in this flesh, I have this battle. I have this conflict. In Romans chapter 6, Paul begins to lay the groundwork. He begins to lay out a picture of sanctification. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. He said, we're crucified with Christ. We've laid the old man down. We've laid the old man and left him where he needs to be. But praise God, he said, we've been risen with Christ to walk in the newness of life. But then Paul goes on into chapter 7 and lays out the difficulties of going through the sanctification process. He says, for the things that I don't want to do, I find myself a-doing, and the things that I should do, I don't do. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin? I tell you who, it's Christ Jesus. Amen. It's God that is working, and it is God through his Spirit that is in the sanctification process in our life. Amen. But there's a process to sanctification that we need to understand. We can't be good enough to merit God's favor whatsoever. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't go through a sanctification process on your own and get to the place where God wants you to be, that you would be accepted in Him. Amen. We can go back again into the Bible, and we can go back into the Old Testament. We can go back again to the dedication of the temple or to the tabernacle, and we can see that when the dedication was taking place, and the priest Aaron was offering the fire from the altar, his sons Nadab and Abihu decided to go and offer fire on their own that God had not commanded and God had not instituted. And when they offered this strange fire before God, see, God didn't tell them to do that. God didn't direct them to do that. That wasn't God's way of doing what He wanted done. That wasn't part of God's sanctification process. And God consumed them by fire on the spot. You know, we have many today that think they're going to get to God and they're going to grow closer to God, and they're going to have a relationship with God based on their own feelings, their own thoughts, and their own ways, and it just don't work. Amen. And people tell me, well, I don't need to go to church. I go out into the woods and I sit in nature and I see God's beauty all around me. And praise God, I know it is. I've been there. But that ain't what God said to do. Amen. They say, well, I don't need to do this, and I don't need to do that. I'll just do this my way. If God didn't prescribe it and God didn't say that's how to do it, it's going to do you no good. You can do the most innocent of things that have no sin connotations attached to them whatsoever, and thinking that you're going to make yourself right before God, and it won't work if it's not done God's way. See, the first thing we got to realize in the sanctification process, there comes a revelation. You know, the only revelation in the Word of God isn't the book of Revelations. God's Word, God's holy book is a whole book of revelations for us all the way through. Amen? The revelation that we, what we think of Revelations at the end of the Bible, if you go back and read the title, it's the revelation of John. Amen. It's what God delivered to John. The Word of God is a book of revelations. And the revelations of God, they tell us all about who we are. They tell us about where we're going. And they tell us about the hope that God has set before us. Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Paul realized one day by the revelation of God that he was a sinner, a lost and on his way to hell, and without Christ Jesus there was no hope for him, and he invited Jesus into his heart. He was a religious man, but he was a lost man. Amen. He was a fervent man, but he was doing things the wrong way. And when God showed him his truth, when God revealed himself unto him and showed him who he really was and what he was, he said, isn't it hard for you to kick against the pricks? Pricks was a sharp-pointed instrument that they used to prod the oxen along with. He said, isn't it hard for you to kick against? Isn't it hard for you to go contrary to my word? Go contrary to what I'm saying. Go contrary to what I'm doing in my church. You're persecuting my church. Isn't that hard? Yet you're trying to do this your way. It isn't working. Amen. You know the truth that God reveals to us today in 2017? It's still hard to go contrary to the Word of God. Amen. You're never going to get anywhere going contrary to the Word of God. You're never going to find that process of sanctification fulfilled in your life as long as you're trying to go contrary to what God says. He says right here in verse number 19, the Lord knoweth them that are His. The first point of sanctification is the revelation that you must be a child of God. And outside of being a child of God, it don't matter how holy, it don't matter how religious, it don't matter how good you try to get yourself, you'll never accomplish what God wants to accomplish. Amen. Until you come to the point of realizing you need Jesus. Amen. Man, I like that song the Rochester sung one day. It's one of my two favorites that they did. And got a little bit working on it. Ain't you? I need Jesus. You need him too. Along life's highway to see. You know what? I need Jesus. I need Jesus. But friend, you need him too. You need him more than anything that you've ever needed in this world. You need him more than anything that you've ever needed in this life. More than any relationship that you've ever had, you need a relationship with Jesus. More than any treasure that you've ever known and ever experienced in this world, you need to experience Jesus, the pearl, the great price, the greatest gift that heaven had to offer. He said, the Lord knows them that are his. See, salvation has to come before justification. Salvation has to come before sanctification. Amen. See, once we get saved, then we become justified in Christ. If you don't know what justified means, it means not guilty. Amen. It means made right. It means it's been corrected. Or you can say it's just as if I'd never sinned. Amen. Because when God looks at me, all he sees is the blood of Jesus. When God looks at my life, I've been justified positionally because of who I am in Christ Jesus, because I have a relationship. I've been adopted as a son. I've been brought into the family of God. And positionally, I'm justified. Positionally, I'm made right. Positionally, everything's okay because I'm in Jesus. Amen. And I realize that apart from Jesus, there is no hope. If you want to turn back into Colossians chapter number 3 and stick your finger in your Bible and just hold it there, we're going to be going back there quite a few times. And this might be a two-part message today. I don't know. It's looking that way. But I'm not one for hurrying to get through the Word of God. Amen? But I want you to grasp the importance of what God's Word is saying. In Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1, it said, if ye then be risen with Christ. In other words, you've been born again. You've been saved. You've crucified the old man. Amen. If ye then be risen with Christ. Amen. The process of sanctification can begin. Because in Christ, we have our salvation. In Christ, we have our justification. In Christ, we have our relation. And positionally, we're where God wants us to be. But it doesn't stop there. God didn't save us to be just like we was. Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation, something entirely different than what you used to be. You know, we sing that song, the old man is dead. And praise God, I'm glad he's dead. But he keeps trying to resurrect his head. Amen. He keeps a fighting from the grave. Where are we laying? Positionally, everything's all right, but we're not where God wants us to be transitionally. Does that make sense to you? Amen? Give you an example. My kids, my daughter, she's, I use her. She's here today. I'll pick on her. She's my daughter. She will always be my daughter. Amen? She married Billy Harmon, but she's still my daughter. She married Billy Harmon. She's still my baby. She married Billy Harmon. She's still my girl. Amen. She's got a multitude of kids, and they call her mommy, but she's still my child. Amen. She has a daycare over here in town, and the people come and bring their kids, and they look to her as their authority. She used to be active in the PTA here in Charlestown. If anybody had anything going on, she was involved in it some way. Everybody looks to her and sees everything, but she's still my kid. Now, if Billy comes home, and he's been cheating or doing her wrong or whatever, and she shoots Billy. Amen. And she's condemned to death and she goes to jail. Everybody might say that she deserves exactly what she got. But you know what? She's still my baby. She's still my child. She's still my girl. Positionally, that will never change. Amen? Positionally, that will never move, regardless of what she does. Can you imagine the moms and dads who find out that their daughters have got caught up in drugs and their daughter has turned to prostitution, and we look down our nose and we look down our face at these people sometimes and we get all sanctimonious, but do you realize she's still a mom and a dad's little girl? That didn't change who she was. We read all the time in the paper, and you can just about read between the lines. They don't say they died of a drug overdose, but you see the obituaries, and you know that they died of drugs. And somebody says, well, they got what they deserved. They was fooling with that. They should have known better than fooling with that. Do you realize that somebody's little boy, that's somebody's little girl, and just because drugs took a hold on their life, it didn't change who they were positionally. Amen. They were still somebody's child. They were still somebody's baby. Oh, your kid might get educated. I like Teresa and Jonathan Price. Teresa, we was talking one time, their kids are doctors. Amen. A truck driver. Teresa told me one time, says, I like telling people, yeah, my husband's just a truck driver, but my kids are doctors. It don't matter. They're still John and Teresa's little boy and little girl. Amen. Amen. It don't matter who they become. Dr. Sherry Kitts. She goes, It's still Bob and Carlina Bowlesby's little girl. It didn't change that. You see, positionally, she's always their child. But transitionally, we can see the difference in all these scenarios that we just give you of where we can wind up. Amen? But God wants us to grow in Him. He wants us to grow in grace, and He wants us to grow into the image of a Son. He wants us to be drawn closer to Him, first as a revelation of who we are and where we are. Amen? And next, there's a vivification, a theological term, that talks about our sanctification, which in essence means that we seek after God. Look at what it says right there in Colossians 3. Colossians 3. It says, verse number, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. You see, vivification says that we want to be the person that God wants us to be. He says in 2 Timothy 2:19 there, he says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, who's at God's people, he said, let them seek after Him. Let him purge himself of the things of the world. Let's draw closer to God. The process of sanctification is a process of getting closer to God each day in our life. Amen? The question that we have to ask ourselves daily, the question that we need to address in our own lives is if I'm getting closer to God or if I'm drawing farther away from God. Amen? The process of sanctification is growing closer to God, drawing closer to the place where He wants you to be, becoming more like Him in everything that we do. We know that we're not yet like Him, but we know that when He appears, we're going to be just like Him. But our goal should be to become more Christ-like every day. That's a process that God does through His Word and by His Spirit. Sanctify them through Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. That's why it's important to be in church when the doors of the church are open. Amen. Not that you can hear the preacher, but that you can hear from God. Not that you hear the preacher and I get tired of listening to him. Well, quit listening to me and start listening to God. Amen. Quit listening to me and listen to what the Word is trying to impart to you, what the Word is trying to do for you, how the Word is trying to change you, and allow it to change you the way that He wants and He intends to do so. Vivification, drawing closer to God. Do you read the Word? Let me tell you what, this man right here is a Bible scholar. Man, he'll call me, he'll text me, ask me questions. He'll ask me a question in church. The reason I say that is because of this. There's sometimes after Sunday school, there's sometimes after preaching, that Brother Joe, last Sunday, he come to me. He says, you know, he said, I've read that 100 times. And he said, I've read over that. You know why it's important to open God's Word? Because every time you open God's Word, He has something that He wants to show you. He has something that He wants to impart into you that will help you be drawn closer to Him, help you know Him more. Amen? Every time you hear the preaching of God's Word, I don't care if it's a dynamic preacher. I don't care if he's a boring preacher. Maybe that's how you label me. I don't know what it is or how it is, but I've heard preachers that Brother Joe Arthur, he's as dynamic as you can get. Brother Craig Edwards, he's as dynamic as you can get. I've heard Brother Donnie Farmer, and he don't never get much more than about this right here. But he can draw you and suck you right into the Word of God. And he is, just so fascinating and interesting that you just sit on the edge of your seat waiting for the next thing. Every time you hear the Word of God preached, if it's preached in truth, amen, God can do something in your life that brings you closer to Him. You see, vivification is forgetting and leaving those things behind. That's what Paul told the Philippians when he wrote his letter to the Philippian church. He said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul didn't say I was there for the preachers. He didn't say I was there for the fellowship. He didn't say I was there for what I could get out of it. He said I was there for what God was going to do in my life. He said before this, as you read back further in that chapter there in Philippians, he said, I count all things but loss. In another place, he said, I count it all but dung. Amen. And what Paul's saying, he says, all these things that have a hold on me, all these things in this world that have an effect upon my life are just hindrances that keep me from being where I want to be. Amen? Over in Hebrews chapter 12, as we get past the chapter 11, the roll call of faith and all these heroes of the faith, the writer, and I believe Hebrews was written by Paul personally. Some don't. I do. He says, we have a great cloud of witnesses. What's he talking about? He's talking about all these heroes, all these martyrs, and all these ones who are faithful unto God. He said, we have this great cloud of witnesses. He said, therefore, let us lay aside every weight in the sin that so easily beset us, that we can run with race. What's he saying there? He's saying it's time to make a choice. It's time to make a decision. It's time to realize what Christ has done for you in your life. There's been a revelation that brought you to a place of salvation. Now you need a revelation that's going to bring you to a place of getting out of your place positionally and get into where He wants you to be transitionally. That we start moving from where we were and where we are to where God wants us to be. Amen. It's a transforming process that God is bringing us through to bring us to the image of what He wants us to be. Now, a lot of us have a hard time laying aside those things. Paul there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, you know, there's vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. He said, we need to purge ourselves of some things. We need to get rid of some things in our lives so that we can move transitionally to where God wants us to be. Amen? Am I losing you all this morning? Are you just tired? Are you saying, you ready for this to be over? I want you to grasp this completely. God's not satisfied with us where we were. That's why He sent His Son to save us. Amen. He sent His Son to die in our stead, to die in our place. That we didn't have to die and split a place called hell wide open. Amen. And if He wasn't satisfied with us in that place, that to the point that He was willing to send His Son to die for us, why do you think He'd want you to remain there? Amen. He doesn't. He wants you to move to the place where He wants you to be what He intended for you to begin with. God created man that He might have fellowship. The Bible tells us that God would walk in the garden in the cool of the day. He created man in His own likeness and His own image. He didn't create man like He did the angels. He didn't create man like He did the seraphims. He didn't create man like He did all the other creatures that He made in creation. He made man in His own likeness and His own image that He might fellowship with Him. And the only way that you can have fellowship with Him is to draw closer to Him. James says, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. That's the point of sanctification, is getting closer to God. And the closer we get to God, the closer He gets to us. And the closer He gets to us, the more we want to get closer to Him. Paul said, I counted everything else but loss. He said, I've learned to, we got to lay some things aside. Man, Paul gave up a whole lot. You don't realize what Paul gave up in his day to be what God wants him to be. I'm going to stop here this morning and bring this to a conclusion. And I'm going to finish this message tonight. One, two. But until we get to that place, what's that place? It's that place when God takes us out of this world. Until we get to that place, what's that place? Until God brings us to the end of our journey. There's a process that needs to take place in our lives. It starts with revelation. And it kicks into vivification. And that's actually a word. I assure you it's a real word. A desire to draw close to God. But it comes at a great cost. And we'll get into that tonight. It comes in a cost of mortification. That's crucifying. That's laying our personal desires down. You see, Christ came and He was willing to lay down everything that He was. He was willing to lay down everything that He had that He might die on that old rugged cross. He said, no man takes it from me. And let me tell you something. God won't take it from you. God won't force you God may haunt you. Amen. He may take away your peace. He may take away your joy. He may take away your confidence. But he won't force you to be what you don't want to be. Amen? I know Christians that are good people, but they can't tell you a bit more about what the Word of God says. They've been saved. I'm sure they're saved. But they take no time to study the Word of God. They have no clue. That's why we're preaching these things that we're preaching. That's why we're trying to instill this into you. It's my job as a pastor to be sure that you understand and you know these things. I don't know about you, but I want to be where he wants me to be. Amen. I want to be doing what he wants me to do. I'm glad one day that I sat under the preaching of a old Baptist preacher in a little Baptist church. It was probably about two-thirds of the size it is, wasn't it, Mary? Fellowship, maybe. It was little. But souls got saved. The word got preached. And I come to a realization that I was lost and on my way to a devil's hell. And apart from Jesus, apart from having him in my life, there was no hope for me whatsoever. Outside of Jesus, I was going to split hell wide open. What a revelation. But I'm glad that preacher told me about a God that loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. He told me about a God that cared about my eternal state to the point where he was willing to take on himself the image of man and bearing himself the pain of an old rugged cross and to bear my sin and my shame on the cross, that I wouldn't have to go there. And all I had to do was believe that with all my heart and confess that with my mouth and ask him into my life. And he says, "And thou shalt be saved." And by that revelation, God began dealing with my heart. And brought conviction unto me. And I wanted what Jesus had for me. I didn't want to die and go to a place called hell. I didn't want to die and suffer for all of eternity. I didn't want to die apart from the God that created me. See, everybody wants to go to heaven. But everybody's trying to get there their own way. But there's only one way to do it. Jesus said, "You must be born again." Well, how's that happen, Pastor? Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." We got to accept Jesus as our Savior. Rochester sang that song. I try to sing it sometimes. A door was hung at Calvary, and it hinges on the cross. Friend, if you're here today, and by the revelation of God's Word, by the preaching of the Word, by the teaching of the Word, by the study of the Word, by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, if he's brought revelation into your heart and into your life, and you know that today you would split hell wide open if you was to die where you are, you don't have to leave that way. You can leave with hope. Brother Jim and Sister Mary, let's get a song.